asked the guy that does Teddy Roosevelt for us. I said, just talk to me off the air in your normal professorial voice a little bit about who Teddy Roosevelt was and what he would be like today.
I'm imagining that he would do very well indeed, and he would have something that most of our politicians don't have, and that is a really deep reputation for character and integrity, so that even people who didn't like Roosevelt's policies knew that he was a man who said what he thought and thought what he said and did not have his political finger up into the wind, that Roosevelt had developed a view of life and that he was not afraid to espouse it, and he told the truth, and he tried to be authentic in a way that I think most politicians in our time are really not.
It's funny you mention that, because I think a lot of us are now, or will when we do the show, be contrasting Roosevelt with Trump. And I think what the two of them do have in common was candor. But my own view of the two is that what separates them is maybe character. So both of them will say what they think, consequences be damned. But I don't get the feeling that Donald Trump is always completely honest with us. And that's one of the things that most impresses me about Teddy Roosevelt, was his honesty.
No question. So, you know, you could draw many contrasts between Theodore Roosevelt and the current president of the United States. Let me just give you a couple. Roosevelt wrote 40 books, 155,000 letters, innumerable articles and op-ed pieces and so on. He wrote all of these himself. He was one of the most gifted prose stylists in American history, and he read a book a day. And contrast that, say, with the current president. Roosevelt beat down barriers to get himself into the Spanish-American War. He had to work strenuously to overcome opposition from his family, opposition from President McKinley, opposition from the Secretary of the Naval Department. His best friend, Henry Cabot Lodge, told him that if he went to the war, it would be political suicide. Roosevelt did everything in his power, including, push pretty hard to get himself to the front lines in Cuba, what he called his crowded hour. You know, the current president had deferrals because of foot problems during the Vietnam War. Roosevelt is bombastic sometimes, but he is probably the best intellectually prepared president in American history. And so in all of those ways, the resemblances between Theodore Roosevelt and Donald Trump are superficially attractive, but they don't bear up under any significant scrutiny.
Well, we discovered that, but at the time when Roosevelt was vice president, and certainly when he became president, there was no great confidence for him in a lot of quarters, right?
That's true. Mark Hanna, who was the kingmaker in the Republican Party in Ohio, Hanna, who was McKinley's closest friend, said, beware, that damned cowboy might become the president of the United States. Yeah. And then McKinley was assassinated, and then that happened. There was a lot of concern that Roosevelt was sort of a McCain figure, more of a McCain figure than a Trump figure, that he was erratic, he was a maverick, he was likely to chart his own course and not stay within the broad ranks of the Republican Party. But Roosevelt did something that Donald Trump has not done. When he became president, he immediately adopted a more presidential demeanor. You know, he wore the right kind of clothing to White House functions. He said the appropriate things on national occasions. He turned the White House into a kind of a performing arts center. He had massive dignity and presence, and in fact won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1906 for ending the Russo-Japanese War. So he made what we call the turn from being sort of crazy Roosevelt into a distinguished president of the United States, and he realized that presidential decorum is extremely important.
Clay Jenkinson's on a line. You may recognize that voice. It sounds a little like the one that does the Thomas Jefferson shows with us when we come to Chicago's various college campuses and do a little conversation on stage. He's also the man behind the character of Teddy Roosevelt, who we are going to talk to on stage Saturday, November 10th at 10:30 in the morning at Elgin Community College. There are a handful of seats left for this. Two things I just wanted to talk to you about. When we do the show, as we've done the show, we didn't talk about Obama or Bush or Clinton. We go back that far. Or even President Trump per se that much. But they're always in the room. We're asking them about the issues that these people are dealing with. I don't want our conversation in November, the Saturday after the midterm, to be Trump bashing or Trump praising. I want it to be about Roosevelt, and the contrast will speak for itself. One thing that the two have in common was that at least some of the people, a lot of people, really like Donald Trump. Did a lot of people really like Teddy Roosevelt? Was he a man of the people? Was he popular?
Yes, and let me just say, John, I agree with you 100%. You know, it may sound like we're finding fault with President Trump here. Not necessarily. President Trump may have method to his madness. He has a particular way of going about business. He thinks it has worked all of his life and that it's highly successful. And you can look to some fulfilled promises from his campaign. And, you know, that's what we want our presidents to do, to tell us what they're going to do if they're elected. And once they're elected, try to accomplish those things. I think that we have spent too much time being appalled by Donald Trump's demeanor, and we've forgotten that he really is more solid in his achievement on behalf of the people who elected him than sometimes it might appear. And so I'm only objecting to the equation of Roosevelt and Trump. They're very, very different sorts of people, but our programs are never meant to praise Obama or dump on G.W. Bush or the reverse. Roosevelt had a cult, just as Donald Trump has. Roosevelt's cult was that he was a cowboy and a war hero. Donald Trump's is that he was a reality show of success and that he was an important real estate developer in New York and elsewhere. And those mythologies, and by that I don't mean anything critical, those mythologies help a person once elected. So that, you know, if you're elected like Barack Obama and there's really no backstory of great achievement, then you have to find your public following in a different way. But if you're someone like Roosevelt, who's already done amazing things by the time he becomes president, including cowboy and ranch out in western North Dakota, that oomph, that mythology, that narrative helps carry them through difficult moments in Congress or in their administrations. And so Roosevelt was probably alarming in his time, just the way Trump is alarming in our time, by the deep, deep conviction of his followers. One of his Rough Riders said that we would follow him into hell. We would do, you know, to a slaughter. We would be lambs driven to a slaughter if Roosevelt were leading us, because they had such, you know, profound admiration for him and a belief that he was the savior for all that was wrong in the United States at the time. So in that way, their trajectories are very similar.
What are the hits? So when we get on stage and we want to tell this Roosevelt story, what do we need to talk about? Give me some of the headlines.
The fun of it is, you know, we're speaking in a really serious way today. It's very playful, and there's a ton of laughter, and Roosevelt's personality is just such that the whole audience is sort of amazed but a little bit appalled that a person of such mighty energies is amongst us and just so very overwhelming. One of his guests said that he spent 3 hours with Roosevelt in the White House, and then he went back to his hotel and wrung Roosevelt's personality out of his clothes. So that's what we're up against. We'll talk about everything. Roosevelt loves to tell stories, so no matter what you ask him, he'll wind up telling a story about punching out a drunk in a bar somewhere in Montana Territory, or the time he took the boat thieves all the way to Dickinson through a blizzard to arrest them for etc. But he also tells, you know, I've been doing a series of programs around the country as Roosevelt for a government and technology group, and I talk about his innovativeness. First president to go down in a submarine, first president to own an automobile, first president to send a transatlantic cable. He brought typewriters into the New York police force and fingerprinting. He embraced all of the emerging and disruptive technologies of his time to increase the capacity of the government to solve human problems. And so if we look at our problems today, John, you know, what are we going to do about immigration? Roosevelt was talking about such things. Energy policy, Roosevelt had to wrestle with those sort of things, and particularly America's place in the world. And just as Donald Trump is trying to rethink our place with NATO and the European alliance and so on, and NAFTA in terms of trade, Roosevelt was trying to figure out, well, what is America's rightful place in the world, and how much of our tax dollars do we want to contribute to this? And, you know, I think what Donald Trump is doing is trying to come back and say, let's not just take everything for granted, that this is the way it has to be. Let's step back and ask ourselves, are these alliances and is this American positioning in the world really bringing us the kind of benefits we want? It's at least worth talking about. And I think the only thing that Roosevelt would say is that this conversation could be handled more rationally, more sensitively, and with a greater commitment to historical continuity. But I don't think that he would be sorry to see these questions being raised.
About that. Pretty good, huh? So on stage, tickets at WGNRadio.com/event.